Tuesday, April 20th. President had a pretty busy day, starting with the leaders at 8 o'clock, then agricultural editors, the JC leadership, president of the International Red Cross, a session with Schultz, a session with Hardin and Lincoln on the Texas drought, meeting with the attorney general, and a meeting with our pro-Nixon senators in the cabinet room. In between these, he had me in five or six times for fairly extensive sessions, adding up to 14 pages of notes. One item of concern was Bill Rogers' plans for extending his trip next week to include Israel and Egypt and a couple of other Mideast stops. This, of course, has Henry going right up the wall. He's opposed to the whole idea of Rogers getting into the Middle East, as always, and particularly doesn't think he should go there, but the president confirmed that he had told him he could. Henry then raised the specter of Rogers probably coming up with a proposal for going to the Soviet Union, and the president said absolutely no on that, without any equivocation at all. He got into personnel changes several times during the day. He wants to replace General Lincoln at OEP and put a politician in there who will really exploit the opportunities for us in the disaster declarations and use that post as a base for becoming a major spokesman. He also wants to get a list of all the holdovers that are still in that the president has appointed, such as Reeser and Shillitoe, and then clean house unless any of them were with us before the election. He bases this on the way Yost has stabbed us. He especially wants George Bush to clean out the UN office. Then he got into wanting to make some cabinet replacements and comes to the conclusion that it really might be possible to make some changes this year, which is what he would really like to do in order to get some strong salesman, spokesman types in the cabinet. He thinks I should talk to Bill Rogers and have him try to encourage Cliff Hardin to take the Purdue presidency and open that one up, and that we should go ahead on moving Stans back into the finance chairman role so we can open commerce up. The next big item of the day was a monumental flap arising from a rather weird off-the-record press deal that the vice president had Sunday night in Williamsburg. Apparently, after midnight, he called 9 press people to his suite and spent 3 hours in an off-the-record backgrounder with them, during which he expressed his disagreement with the idea of letting down the barriers with China and his extreme dissatisfaction with the press reporting of the Chinese ping-pong tour. This, of course, has created exactly the kind of flap that should have been expected. The president made the point that his first mistake was to have drinks with reporters. Kissinger said that he had sent Haig to brief the vice president Friday on China. The president wants him now to get off this wicket and say he was completely misunderstood. Kissinger had recommended that Ziegler say that the vice president is expressing his personal view, but the president disagreed with that and agreed with Ron's recommendation that he say that the vice president's authorized him to say that there's no difference with the vice president, on the part of the vice president, with the president's policy on China. The vice president completely agrees with the initiatives the president has taken. The president's particular concern was to be sure Ron did not create any impression that the president supports the vice president's views on this. And he made the point that the vice president should realize they'll just use this to destroy the vice president. He says it's clear that he doesn't understand the big picture in this whole Chinese operation, which is, of course, the Russian game. We're using the Chinese thaw to get the Russians shook. Dobrynin will be back later this week, and Henry will get a reading on how it's working. Henry also raised the point of the need now to get a direct channel to deal with the Chinese, and is thinking of the idea of sending Walters to Warsaw to set up the communications. President got again to the point that Agnew shows qualities here that are very damaging. He wants me to talk privately to Conley and to move very, very slowly, but to start getting him with it in this area as a possible vice presidential candidate. He makes the point that the vice president shouldn't say anything once a decision is made. His job is to support the president. The next thing to come along was Supreme Court's unanimous ruling on school desegregation, which is apparently quite a milestone decision and knocks down the president's neighborhood school idea and upholds busing for the purpose of desegregation. The president spent considerable time with Ron and later with the Attorney General working out the precise wording of how Ron should handle it. He obviously was very much concerned about the decision, and feels that we've got to be careful, very careful in what we say. After a lot of discussion, they all agreed that we would make the point that now that the court has acted, it's the law of the land, and it's therefore the obligation of the local school authorities and the district courts, which have jurisdiction in these matters, to carry out the mandate of the court. He doesn't want Ron to go any further than that. He then made the point that he wanted Ehrlichman to get Richardson in and order him that HEW is not to do anything except what is specifically required by the law. They are not to take the initiative. They are not to get out in front and charge. He wants to be sure that there's an absolute order to them on this, that they don't screw us on the court decision. He wants to get Ed Morgan back in to help the follow-up on it and nip it in the bud with Elliot Richardson, program him on no initiatives. He wants to kill the idea of any philosophy of our getting credit for the decision or getting out in front of the court on it. We go straight down the line and not one step beyond the law. He decided to have a meeting with Attorney General and Richardson and Ehrlichman in the morning to lay the law down on this. The session with the senators apparently didn't go very well. The president called several times afterwards to complain that they didn't have our polls, didn't know how well things were going, and that Baker had taken it upon himself to deliver a 20-minute dissertation to the president on how he should try to get us out of the war. End of April 20th.